We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Biggest regret is just not making the playoffs. And as a coach, you always go back and think of things every single year. Unless you win the championship, there's stuff that you go, man, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. And those are the things that you guys are going to want to know. And those are the things that I'm not going to tell you. But I will tell you, there are absolutely things that I regret that I could have done better with.
Now, Steve didn't mention any of that because he was saving his regrets for us. I'm sure of it. He's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Harris Hoisting and the County of Santa Clara. Steve, thank you as always for joining us. The exit interview that we've all been dying to have with you. We appreciate your time as always. How you doing?
I'm doing well. My pleasure. Good to be on with you guys for one last time till next season.
Now, I know that you're talking about regrets, and you've had a few. As you thought about them, is there anyone that, like, continues to nag you as an incomplete? And whether you want to share that with us or not, what is the blinking neon sign in your mind that you regret? And how will you go about fixing those regrets, I guess, is the question.
Maybe being too open and honest with you guys on our weekly radio show.
Well, look, we appreciate it for sure. And one of the things that I do acknowledge is I think, Steve, that you are almost too generous with the press at times. And it creates this weird, intrusive level of questions that people want to ask you, but they really, really like you too, so they don't want to make you uncomfortable either. It's just, you're such a nice and likable and cooperative guy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, but I know that that makes me want to not scream at you and say, what the hell happened with all those turnovers in those last two games? But that's where we're going to start today. Yeah, there was some defense but man, didn't that get a little sloppy? I mean, are you regretting how sloppy those last two games got, especially Steph, especially Draymond, who pull their weight in so many different ways, but God, your two most important players were bad when they needed to be great sometimes.
Well, they were both amazing when we needed them to be amazing. And you know, so that's the thing is you can't just take the good and then say, well, why did the bad happen? I mean, you know, they're both high turnover players, and that's fine as long as it's within reason, you know. And I think both guys would tell you that in those last two games, they turn it over more than they should have. But they also have a ton of pressure on them, and the ball is in their hands about 90% of the time in our offense. So we ask a lot of them. They give so much. And, you know, there's always going to be games where, you know, maybe they make a couple extra turnovers from what they're, you know, what they usually do. And that's just all part of it. I thought the Memphis game, we were tired both physically and spiritually, I think, you know, emotionally coming off that Laker loss. I think that that definitely played out in that game. And the turnovers were, you know, one of the byproducts of that.
On a more macro level, do you go through this things you regret stage at the end of every season? Because it seems like after 5 years of getting to the finals, where you don't really have a ton of regrets, and last year, where there was nothing to be done that would involve regret, is this the first time you've had to go through this process where you start thinking about what could I have done differently? What did I do too soon? What did I do too late? That sort of thing.
No. I go through it every single year. I would say when you win the championship, even though there are mistakes that you made, they're glossed over and you don't rue them because they didn't cost you. But so even the 2 years when we went to the finals and lost, there were things that I look back on and regretted. And last year there were some things I regretted, and this year there are things I regretted. But that's the nature of the beast. I mean, what we're doing is not a science experiment. There's no right or wrong answer in anything that we do. This is more art than science. And so there's usually, when you have a decision to make, there's usually several that seem like a good idea, and you choose one of those, and it doesn't always work out. And so those are the kinds of things, whether it's a lineup decision or, did I take a timeout? Should I have taken a timeout? Should I have not have taken a timeout in this situation? And generally speaking, when things don't work out, then that's when you rehash those things in your mind and think, man, I wish I'd done it differently. But what all that means is your process has to be good. If you go through a sound process, then you can live with the decisions that you make that didn't turn out.
So none of this is really about sort of stuff that you rethink and then implement in future years. It's just, this was a good idea at the time, turned out to be bad.
Yeah, but that may affect me the next year. I'll give you a good example. There have been games this year where I wish I had taken a timeout from the sidelines quicker than when I actually did. And then later in the season, I tried to be quicker and more demonstrative, and maybe I handled that better. But things like that, absolutely, I will carry towards next year and try to be, better with that sort of thing. Even if it means, running all the way to the other side of the court and signaling for the timeout in the middle of the court. If that's what it takes, you just do it and you deal with the repercussions later. But that's just one example. Another example would be, do you use a timeout late in the game or do you let the players go? And I have a general feeling on that, but I also am aware that our team has changed over the years, and maybe I should be quicker to call a timeout at the end of a game now than I was 3 or 4 years ago, given that we have less experience. So those little nuances, little details like that are things that I think about and then try to implement the next season to get better.
Glad you brought up the experience thing, because as we have seen, you mentioned a lot of open honesty from the organization over the last couple of days. One of the things that's come up again and again is veterans. We need veterans. This team wants veterans. And I guess my question to you would be, obviously, experience is experience, and there's value in that virtually anywhere. Is that all it is? Because, look, Stephen, Draymond, and some other guys on this team have been around a while, but if you feel like you need more veterans, what specifically does a veteran bring that you feel like was missing?
Yeah, I think you have to understand that Steph and Draymond are really unique. There's nobody like them in the league. And so, you look around the league at other free agents, you really have to sort of picture, can these guys play with Steph and Draymond? Will they be good fits with them? And what does that mean? I think you guys know I have always valued passing at every position. Our team, my first few years as coach, just a brilliant passing team. Bogut and David Lee and Andre and Sean Livingston and Draymond. Up and down the roster. And I'd even mention our guards, Steph and Clay, who are both great passers too. So, the more passing, the better, especially when you're playing with Steph and Draymond, because the defense is going to be skewed with Steph now. That people are going to be, sending two at him almost out at half court. And so you need guys who can step in, like Juan Toscano-Anderson, guys who can step in from the weak side and handle a 3-on-2 situation after the blitz. All those things matter, and so we have to factor those in when we're considering, who we're going to bring in free agency. And you have a better chance of knowing that with veterans because you've watched them play. And so as a result, you may, maybe you circle those guys and you try to you try extra hard to get him, and then you see what you can do.
Steve Kerr joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. As you sit down with your players that you know that are returning, do you send them into an off season with, you know, a reading list or what you want them to work on and show up with in training camp next year?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We had exit meetings with every player. Bob and I did. And you can imagine the meetings are all very different depending on who the player is. So, you know, with Steph and Draymond, the meetings are longer. You know, they're more macro than they are micro. You know, with some of the rookies, it's more, hey, this is a move you should work on. This is a shot you should work on. This is something you need to think about over the summer. Have you considered this? So it's different depending on the player, but you 100% send each player off with a thought and a plan of what, you know, what they should be doing this summer.
You know, you said how unique Steph and Draymond are. I think that Draymond has taken the uniqueness of him almost too far at times with his unwillingness to score. Even though he's incredibly involved in the offense, I know that this is something Bob has talked about and you've talked about with Draymond too. What would you like to see from a points per game future from Draymond Green? Can you even put a number on that?
Actually, I'm not sure what the number is, but I would guess over the last 20 games, and I haven't had our stats people look this up, but I would guess over our last 20 games, you know, when you look at the stretch we went on, 15-5 to finish, you know, before the two play-in games, I'll bet you Draymond's offensive numbers were much better than they were the first 50 games. He was more aggressive. He was looking to shoot. He was attacking the rim more. So that's the main thing. I don't put a number on it. It's more the aggression. And I think when Draymond is aggressive and looking at his three-point shot, you know, taking two or three of them a game, attacking the rim, trying to score in transition, that's the very best version of Draymond. And there's no doubt it does loosen the game up for us and for the rest of the guys. So that's the version of Draymond that we want. And he knows that. We've talked about it, and he knows that's when he's at his best. And so that's what we will be looking at, you know, to start next season.
It's interesting, Steve. I bet you can imagine. We've talked about this a couple times since you guys had things to say about Draymond's offense at the press conferences. So I happen to have the last 21 games in front of me. And strangely enough, his scoring isn't up as much as you would think. But watching it, I felt the same way you did. And so I guess that what I kind of want to zero in on here is that it's not just the stats that are saying this, but I think what you're saying philosophically is that it's about approach, not so much results.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I didn't go to a number, because the number doesn't matter. It's the approach. It's the confidence level. It's the aggression. It's the, you know, I mean, the best version of Draymond, you guys know this, is when somebody leaves him wide open, he makes a three, he races over in front of the opponent's bench and screams at the other coach, and he screams, "You better guard me." And then he might add an expletive or two. You know, that's the Draymond who we love. That's the one who is the most effective, because it just fuels the entire team when he plays with that kind of emotion and aggressiveness. So, yeah, I have no idea what the numbers are, but I know during that span he was more aggressive for sure. And he had a lot more games where he was looking to attack and where he looked like the version of him that we need. So I thought all in all, Draymond had a phenomenal season, especially considering, you know, the start he got off to, you know, with the COVID protocols and missing camp and not being in shape because of the health protocols. Once he got his legs underneath him, to me, he was the best defensive player in the league. And, you know, he had his best passing season, his best playmaking season. I thought he was brilliant.
Another player that I think people had reservations about at the beginning of the year was Andrew Wiggins. And while you have always been a staunch defender of his, did you think he would be as consistent a defender night in and night out as he gave you? Because even while you're giving us what is the most optimistic version of Wiggins on a daily basis, it seems like he exceeded, well, I don't know, you tell me. Is it, did he exceed your expectations defensively?
I don't think he exceeded our expectations defensively, because we saw what he could do the last 14 games of last season when we traded for him, and he played really solid defense. And so when we went into the offseason and we had our bubble, our mini training camp, whenever that was back in, I don't even remember what month it was, that was our whole focus, and that's all we talked to him about was, you know, you're going to guard LeBron, you're going to guard Kawhi, you're going to guard Luka. You know, we don't have other guys on the roster who can do that. So that's your job, and, you know, here's what you need to do to do that, and we're going to stay on you. And that was, that plan was executed, and Andrew, to his credit, he embraced it and really did a good job with it and took on a role that, really, especially without Clay, you know, not many other guys could have done. And so I think we saw it last year, and it was, but it was great to see him do it so consistently over the course of the year. The great thing with Andrew is he still has room for improvement, and that's what we talked about in his exit meeting. There are still things he can get better with and more consistent with, and he's so coachable and agreeable that he, you know, he says, yeah, you're right. You know, let's do it.
Steve Kerr joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Klay Thompson walking back into the room will instantly do what to the room?
Well, it'll light it up, for one thing. I mean, everyone loves Klay. He's such a breath of fresh air. He's so much fun to be around. And then the fact that, you know, when we walk into camp for the first time next year, it's all together with Klay, you know, being on the court. With the rest of the guys in training camp, that means everybody's spirits will be higher, including mine. And we don't know exactly, you know, how ready he's going to be to play on opening night, but we know he'll be on the court and working towards that point. And it, and if it's not opening night, it, you know, it won't be too far after. And that is such great news for Klay, for us, obviously, but for Klay, I mean, boy, it's been a rough couple of years. And, I literally think about the first game back at Chase for Klay Thompson and the ovation that guy's going to get. It's going to be so emotional for everybody. I can't wait for that night, because nobody deserves that more than Klay.
It's going to be special. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. It's a night where you hang a banner, except you actually get to, you have a human out there. Like, here he is. Here is the, what we're all here for. Isn't it great to see him again? And it will be. Him walking back out to shoot that free throw is still one of the manliest things I've ever seen happen on an NBA court. Only to be outdone by him actually jogging back to play defense, thinking that you might let him do that. We miss him very, very much. It'll be great to have him. You talk about expectations for opening night. Let's talk about expectations for rookie year 2.0 for James Wiseman.
Yeah, I mean, I think the great thing is that James will have a year under his belt when he steps onto the court next year. And you know, we feel pretty good about the timeline in terms of James being there for training camp, which will be huge since we didn't have a training camp for him last year. And so, you know, given all that, a year under his belt, the experience, a good training camp, and also a team that will be much more clearly defined. You know, we pretty much know who the other four starters are going to be, you know, on the team with Draymond, Wiggs, Steph, and Klay. You know, pending Klay's return date. But, you know, once Klay's healthy, those guys will be starting, those four guys. And those guys all know each other, and you know, we've played together now, we established something. So this will be much more typical of a young guy, you know, joining a team that's already established and then finding his place, whereas last year it was all sort of, you know, hey, let's just throw him into the deep end and, you know, sink or swim. Let's see what happens, and with a brand new team and a bunch of guys he doesn't know. So this should be a much healthier process for James this year and for us.
I want to dig into the other part of what you were just saying about the sort of familiarity you're looking forward to getting back to next season. And We've heard a lot over the last year plus about the adjustment to playing alongside Steph and Draymond, about the sort of uniqueness of the way your team plays. Do you feel like you guys get more value out of continuity and sort of the same faces than the average NBA team because what you do is so specific and unique?
Well, yeah. I mean, the continuity matters. You know, guys who understand the game at a pretty deep level, like Andre Iguodala, like Juan Toscano-Anderson, guys like that who just kind of see the pictures easily. It's pretty easy for them to pick up, you know, how to play with Steph and Draymond. So as you get a whole group of guys together and they all start to find their roles, that continuity really does matter. And I do think our final stretch of 20 games I think continuity played a big role. I think we were much more comfortable at that stage of the season than we were earlier.
Off the beaten track of Warrior stuff, the Olympics are in 3 months, but are they really? Are you starting to rethink whether you should go? Is the USOC, or at least USA Basketball, rethinking whether they should go?
No. No, there's no rethinking anything. We're going to meet July 1st in Las Vegas as a staff, and I'm really excited about it. And the team will be coming in pretty shortly thereafter, although it's complicated this year by the late NBA Finals. There will be some guys on the team who will be late arrivals, but no, all systems go. We're ready and we're fired up.
Is Curry on this team?
Well, it's going to be his choice. I mean, he's one of the guys in the league who is so good that it's just sort of a given that if he wants to be on the team, he's going to be on the team,
right?
Like LeBron, you know.
How do you approach that though? Because obviously, as his NBA coach and his Olympic coach, you're kind of serving two different masters there. How do you look at it?
I look at it that whatever Steph decides to do, that's what he should do, you know. And some guys feel really good about continuing to, you know, stay in top form and never fall too far away from the conditioning and the rhythm that it takes. And then other guys feel like they would be better served by rest. And that's the decision Steph has to make. And, you know, Pop's been great. Pop and I talk all the time. And one of the things he has told all the guys who are under consideration is, wait a couple of weeks after your season ends to make the decision. I mean, you can't, you know, spur of the moment, you know, lose your last game and the next day decide what you're going to do. That makes no sense. So, Steph's going to take some time and get away a little bit and then figure out what he wants to do.
It was a very interesting season. There was something to tune into each and every night. There was a reason to get excited. There was a reason to get your hopes up and down. It was really adventurous. And you had talked so often about the real NBA. We got clobbered with the real NBA this year. And yet it was still artificial because of just how odd COVID and everything was, and I can't wait till next year already. And I think I speak for a lot of people, and I'd imagine you all feel that way because the amount of success that you did have this year really points to that trajectory, picking up hopefully where you said night one next year with Clay back, Wiseman 2.0, a bevy of veterans who now are looking at the Warriors through a different colored lens than they might have looked at them the night when Clay went down with the ankle injury, like Bob alluded to. And, a team that just went to 5 NBA finals, you don't usually say the future is bright. But I think it still is, Steve. And it's because we're looking at superstars extending their primes deeper into their careers because of conditioning. I think the year that Steph got off last year was really important for him. And I don't think this ends anytime soon. I certainly hope it doesn't.
No, I agree. I think this year was very meaningful, as Steph put it himself. You know, a couple months ago, he said, we've got to find a way to make the season meaningful. And I thought that was so poignant and such a great phrase. And that's exactly what our players did. They they made the season meaningful over the last 2 months. And you think about all the great things that happened between, you know, Steph having an MVP caliber season, Draymond being so good defensively. He'll be first team all defense for sure. Jordan Poole emerging and looking like a wonderful sixth man for us next year. Juan Toscano-Anderson signing a contract. His journey, just an amazing story. Loon, you know, being healthy again and contributing and doing what he does so well, just stabilizing our team. And, you know, I could go on. And then, you know, you think about Clay coming back, and you think about a couple first-round picks and James with a year under his belt. So I'm with you. I think next year we have a chance to make a leap and be really good. And I know our fans will really enjoy watching our team play.
Well, and on a personal note, you wrapped up with the theme of meaningful. For you to come on and have a meaningful conversation with us weekly, good times and in bad, probably a lot easier to do in good times only, but in bad too, you always came on. Never once did you shirk your responsibilities of doing this with us. You were never late by 30 seconds. You were easy to reach at all times. And you're a level of famous where you don't even need to be that nice anymore. And a level of successful where you don't need to do that anymore. And yet you do that. And that is who you are. And that's meaningful to us. And I thank you for being who you are. A good guy, a hell of a coach, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year. Steve, thank you. Enjoy your much-deserved offseason. It's definitely time to put some feet up when you get back from the Olympics. Enjoy.
Well, thank you, guys. I enjoyed our weekly sessions, and I want to say thanks to all our fans out there who are listening for all the support. We've got incredible fans, incredible support here in the Bay Area. This is just a basketball hotbed, and it is an absolute pleasure and honor to coach the Warriors in front of our fans, and to feel that support is just amazing. So thank you to everybody out there, and we'll stay in touch. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Harris Hoisting. Level up. You can learn more at harrishoisting.com. Steve also brought to you by the County of Santa Clara, which wants to remind you that you can get your vaccination now free at any of their drop-in locations, available evenings and weekends. Locations include Eastside San Jose, Downtown San Jose, Gilroy, Mountain View, Sunnyvale, and more. You can call 211 or visit sccfreevax.org to find a drop-in closest to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.